thinking about this as I was coming up here. You never know, church. And it goes to your mind. This is your second, your last time preaching in a church. All those thoughts are going through my head right now, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, as we start to turn another chapter in our lives, many of us have books that still need to be written. Many of us aren't finished with our books. But God is God. God is good. I want to, as Sister Kathy has alluded to, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of my text. It's found in John chapter 10, 16, and then I'll get into my message here. Redeem the time here. John 10, 16 reads, "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, dear God. We ask you, Lord God, for your presence to remain in this place. Lord, we give you a special place in this room tonight, in this sanctuary, in the hearts of your believers, God. We thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you for freedom. We thank you, dear God, for the ability, Lord, be able to come to a place such as this, Father, without any fears. We thank you, dear God, for who you are. And we thank you, dear God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless the reading of your word. Anoint this message tonight, Lord God. Anoint the ears of those that hear, Father, the hearts, the souls, the minds. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. The other sheep. You know, church, as Sister Kathy and I traveled, and I was just thinking on a side note, maybe it's a good idea to travel with Brother Shelton. He seems to avoid this stuff. You know, it might be his angels work overtime, you know, like, they kind of keep his car on the road, and they keep him safe. But, you know, as we traveled down there and we went to the meetings, got a business card from one of the brothers down there. And on it, John 10:16 is written there. And, you know, there was a lot of good preaching, a lot of good messages. But this one really got my attention. "Another sheep I have." Other sheep I have. You know, church, who are these other sheep? Those are questions that I was asking myself. Who is the voice of Jesus that's going to reach out to these other sheep? Where do I need to be to find this other sheep? And let me get to not so much my text, but another chapter in John, chapter 5. Jesus found a lamb in a lonely place. You know, church, there's a lot of lonely people out there. There's a lot of broken people out there. There's a lot of hurting people out there. The account in John chapter 5, church, it focuses on Jesus' interaction with a man who was infirm for 38 years. The account reflects one area where the other sheep can be found. They're like every place else in America, church. Right now, we're focused on the election. This is something I thought about. You know, it doesn't matter who wins as president. Jesus Christ is still on his throne. What's going to matter is what's going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ here in the United States. Because what can happen in this country can start happening in other countries. Are we prepared? There's other sheep out there that need to hear and know what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. You know, one of the things that we focus on, or we've been told, and this came out of this meeting, which is really a good, solid point, and I think I mentioned this before during testimony, is we need to be preaching Jesus Christ. And the other thing, church, we need to focus on who Jesus Christ is. People need to know who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus Christ? You know, these people can be found everywhere. They're disillusioned. They're lonely, church. They need fellowship. They are hurting. They need nurturing. They are desperate. They need hope. They are disillusioned. They need a vision. They are fearful. They need faith. They are desperate. They need a miracle. They are confused. They need truth. The other sheep that Jesus referred to, church, who are these other sheep? As we read John chapter 5, verses 1 through 19, and I'm going to go through text here, I want you to think about who those other sheep are. There was a challenge made this morning in church service. Sister Sarah was testifying about her about prayer. And the fact is, and I think Brother John Gans had also left that challenge. Who's Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ? And what is Jesus Christ in your life? I mean, really think about that. Who is Jesus Christ? Many of us are so used to come to church. We're so used to coming into the sanctuary and saying, we know who Jesus Christ is. I gave my life to the Lord years ago. What Lord? Well, Jesus Christ the Lord. But do you really, really know him? Because if we really do know him, we're going to know who the other sheep are. Because God is expecting us to be a voice, the mouthpiece for Jesus. Jesus could do it all himself, church, but he expects us, the church, now, to do it now, to get it done now, because now is the time to move, church. Election is coming up in a couple of days, and I'm not going to make this a political message, and it's not a political message. But I think Sister Pepper's alluded to, we need to vote biblically. What are we voting for? You may be voting for your survival. You might be voting for the survival of your freedoms of this church. This small church in Chelsea, Oklahoma, the right to be able to come together during this time and worship Almighty God, the creator of the universe, that's in jeopardy. If not, church, if you don't believe that, you need to check your sources and look at what is coming down the road. It's like as Brother Shelton has stated, going down the road, you see an obstacle, you avoid a church. There is a big obstacle coming into the face of the church. And you know what? Before we get to that obstacle, church, there are going to be other sheep that need to know who Jesus Christ is. Verse 1 reads, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. There's your sheep. A large gathering of people who are halted, who are withered, who are hurting, who are broken, who are diseased. People are waiting for something today, church. There are people who have backslid. There are people in churches across America that are backsliding today. There are people that are starting to fall off this Christianity that was created during that time, the book of Acts, during the time of Jesus. People are falling off that, saying there is not enough truth, there is not enough evidence for me to keep serving God. And I dare say that there is more than ample evidence, church. It's out there. People are waiting for something. They're waiting on you. You know, when Jesus got to the pool at Bethesda, Jesus was not concerned about the pool, but he was concerned about the person. Jesus was not concerned about an angel, but rather an action. Jesus' miracle did not deal with getting into the pool, but getting up. That's where Jesus is looking for those people. That is where we need to be looking for those people, church. Jesus' miracle. So the question is, the person that you asked to stand up, can that person say, hey, you know, church, you person, you Christian, does God actually touch your prayers? Does God actually touch your worship? Does God actually touch your praise? Is God who he said he was in your life. Is who is God who he said he was in your life? Who is God? Have we gotten so far out there? And sometimes we do. We develop our own agendas as to what Christianity should be like. And many times I think Jesus says, go back to the basics. Go back to the day you were saved. Go back to your first love. Go back to that sense of who Jesus Christ is. Now add urgency to that, church. Add that urgency tonight and say, you know, I need to be more urgent, because at the time I was desperate for salvation. I was desperate to be forgiven of sin. I knew where I stood, and it wasn't a good place. And Jesus says, through grace and mercy, you are forgiven. Have we lost that first love? Are we at that point, church, where we have forgotten some of those things? I believe tonight Jesus says, you need to go to the pool. You need to go find those other sheep. You need to tell people not to step in, but you need to tell them to stand up. Because, church, that's what we need to be doing. It's those other sheep. Those other sheep, those people that walk in these doors, and we preached about that. The church isn't now confined to these walls. It's got to be confined to this world. There are people out there. There are people out there who are needing a miracle in their lives. There are people who are needing a touch. There are people that are needing something absolute in their lives. There are people that are desperately clawing at anything they can find, any kind of doctrine, anything just to have something to hope in. And it's false hope. But church, the greatest miracle is each and every one of you in here. Every one of us. Because when Jesus gave us salvation, that was the greatest gift. And you know what the thing is with that gift is? We get to share it. We get to pass it along, church. It isn't something we just hold on to. It's something we share with the world. But who is God? Who is God in our lives? We find that those that are waiting on a miracle at the pool near the sheep gate are asking this of us. You know what the Hebrew word Bethesda means? It means house of mercy or house of grace. Bethesda. House of mercy, house of grace. When you consider that, church, God is putting those other sheep at a place of mercy and a place of grace and saying, I will send those that are willing to go, who will serve me, who are willing to reach out. Does God touch your prayers? Does God touch your worship? Does God touch your praise? We extend mercy and grace through prayer and power. But I thought about this, church, something that occurred to me, maybe that I've done for years. You know, we talk about the curtain, the Holy of Holies. There's one more level, church, to get into the Holy of Holies. And many times, church, we haven't looked through that curtain. We step in and we keep our eyes closed, and maybe through prayer. But sometimes we don't really, really absorb who Jesus Christ is. Are we looking at who the Messiah is? Are we really grasping who Jesus Christ is? And a certain man was there, which, verse 5, which had an infirmity 30 and 8 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. The man had a desire to be set free after that many years of waiting for a solution or help. The man resolved to be healed by an event. Jesus resolved to heal by faith. Our level of faith, church. How much faith do we have? You know, church, this last visit to New Mexico, when I was preaching, you know, you look out at the crowd, you look out at the people in the church, and you just like here, there's a lot of broken people. You can just tell there's people that are broken. You can look out into the congregation and you can see broken lives. Sometimes we say those are the sheep we need to be reaching. Well, church, those sheep are already in the fold. And those are the sheep that we need to continue to extend a hand of grace and help. Those are the sheep that we need to continue to nurture and to work with. But those other sheep are those that don't know. Those other sheep are those that Jesus is saying, I want to call a few more in before it's time for me to come. There's a few more that need to be called into this fold. There's a few more. Church, do you know who those few more are? It's going to be your family member. It's going to be your father. It's going to be your mother. It's going to be your brother, your sister. It's going to be your children. Those are those other sheep that God is saying. Have you ever thought about this, church, that maybe God is saying, I'm going to withhold for one more season because I'm giving you grace and mercy for one more relative? You ever think about that, church? That if God holds back everything for one person, maybe it's because he's waiting for your move, your relative, your child, your parent. Or maybe God is saying, out of mercy and grace, I'm waiting for you. It is time that you and the church ignite and become who you need to be in this flock, in this fold. God has an expectation of us, church, tonight. God is an awesome God. The creator of the universe, church. Everything he's created, he's spoken into existence. You know, you talk about the Big Bang Theory. I mean, you know, the studies I did in college, you think just how you can't even grasp. We try to do measurements. We do this, we do that. We try to figure things out ourselves. And you think, God just simply spoke it. And it was done. And I always go back to this example because it finally hit me a couple of years ago when I started to grasp the magnitude of God. I started thinking about the stars. And the word alludes to God has a name for every one of these stars. A constellation's our name. And I thought, you know, we live in a 3D world. Our world is suspended by something called God. God spoke it, and it was. But every star, church, not every star is, you know, 2.3 billion light miles away. Everything has depth. Everything sits at certain distances away from us and then from one another. How vast is the universe? That's how big your God is. And your God is bigger than that because he created that. Who is God? This is the same God who extends mercy and says, I need you to pass to the sheep gate. I need you to go to the pool. And I need you to visit those that are lame, that are halt. And I need you to take him by the hand and give him hope and tell him to stand. And not be waiting to step in, but to stand up. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was a Sabbath. Church, immediately is now. Whole is complete. Faith is carrying out what carried you in. You know, this man, church, he was probably carried in with a bed. He lay there. Faith is carrying the bed out because you're done with it. People do not need to wait for the troubling of water, church. They need to have men and women that trouble the water of the word. That's what God is waiting for. Forget about the stepping in. Let's step up. People have waited to step in. They're still waiting. Jesus is waiting for us to step up. It's time to trouble the water, church. There is no waiting on angels. God is saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on each and every one of us. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is a Sabbath, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. In other words, to carry your faith. He answered them, and he answered, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He should have basically didn't know who Jesus was at the time. He just knew someone told him, take up thy bed and walk. And he stood up and he walked. I wonder what direction he walked. He walked among all the crippled with his bed, with his faith. Walked out and thought, wow, I'm walking. Where is this man? And Jesus just disappeared into the crowd. And you know, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is this which saith unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. I never thought about that. Jesus didn't have to sit there and wait for the accolades. Jesus simply did it and walked off. And I think, what was that man thinking? Did he ever acknowledge him as Lord at the time? Did he ever acknowledge him as the Messiah? All he knew is, he told me to stand up, grab my bed and walk, and I did. And it worked. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Jesus. Preaching Jesus Christ. Now we know who it was. That's what the world is waiting for, church. They're waiting to know who Jesus is and what Jesus is capable of doing. The greatest witness for Jesus Christ is our faith and power in prayer. Are we willing to step forward and profess healing? Are we willing to step forward and profess an unshakable faith? Are we willing to step forward and love? People are looking for love, looking for acceptance. This world is a hateful place, and it's gotten worse. So, Brother Charles, don't worry what happens after Election Day, because regardless of who wins, they're still going to be rioting and looting, because that's become the perverted, the sick nature of man nowadays. So, Brother Robert, wherever you drive, be careful, because that's the world we live in. But having faith over here means, faith over fear means I don't have to have that fear. But God says, use caution, because there's still another sheep you need to find. There's still another lamb that is broken out there. There's still someone in the wilderness, a lamb that has wandered off that you need to come and find. Leave the flock behind. Go find that one. Verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hereto, I work. Therefore the Jews sought to more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that Jesus was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. Following the example, church. God is giving us the perfect example. It's time, church, to light the torch. It's time to put the torch up on high. It's time to live our convictions. It's time. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. This begs a question in my mind. What are my intentions, church? Is it in my best interest or God's? Do I really care enough to commit? Where are my intentions headed? Am I an intentional Christian? Biggest question is, and this is for each and every one of us tonight, church, what is my creed? What is my creed? You know, your creed is, a definition of your creed is, it's a brief, authoritative formula of religious belief. Number two, it's a set of fundamental beliefs, also a guiding principle. What's your creed? If we are to be looking for the lost sheep, for those other sheep, for those souls in our life, you know what, church? People are reading our creed. We have a creed wrapped around our lives, our testimony. And people are reading that and saying, what do you believe? Brother Mike, what do you believe? What do you really believe? What do you stand for? Brother Robert, what do you stand for, Brother Robert? Brother Jason, where's your creed? People are wanting to read a creed and follow it and know that they're following somebody that actually follows something solid in their lives. And those are those people at that pool, in that area called mercy and grace. People are looking at that pool of Bethesda saying, you know, I want mercy and grace. I also want to follow someone who's got a creed who's going to follow through. Because, church, it's important. What is God asking us simply is to follow him. When we follow him, church, we develop a creed. Do I act like the shepherd? Or do I act like the hireling? You know, church, for Royal Rangers, we've been bringing a couple of young boys with us. And good little boys. You know, one of them comes from a really bad situation. Broken. And you know, as I As you listen to him talk, as you talk to him, that little boy's got a heart. He's reaching out. I've noticed that. We bring him to Rangers Church. And I'm thinking, God, that is one of those sheep. That's a little lamb. That little boy loves to sit in the front during Rangers or during church service, but actually during Rangers when lined up. He just loves to look at you and smile. And he wants your approval by smiling back. And it makes him feel so good. You know, church, if it is just as simple as a smile or a pat on the back for a little boy, that means the world to him, church. If that changes his world, then we need to get out of our comfort zone and say, if all I have to do is smile at a child and hold his hand and give him high fives and talk to him respectfully in Rangers, if God is that, what, if that is all as simple as you're asking me to do, I can do that. That's practice for what's coming, church. But that's just one of the many little lambs. And I say, Lord, when we leave, is there someone going to go pick up that little boy? Is someone willing to be inconvenienced by picking up that little boy and bringing him? I say we have some commanders, some men in this church, I would say, I'll go pick him up. Those are the little boys we keep. It may cost you a couple of cents in gas, church. It may cost us a little bit more time. It may cost us an inconvenience. But you know, church, it's worth it. Because what if, church? The what ifs are, what if that little boy turns out to be one of the most fired up Pentecostal preachers you'll ever find in Oklahoma? What if, church? And you get the responsibility of training him, of being part of his life, being part of his ministry, being part of his development, being part of everything. And God says, all I asked you was to find my sheep, find my lambs, find those other sheep. And you found them, you developed them. God says, now hand him, put him in the flock. Now go look for another one. There's still more, church. There's still more out there. Who's going to take that responsibility? Who's going to step up? I believe this church is. But that's the point. Is there are many of those little boys out there. And not just little boys. Young ladies. Men, women. Grandparents. People that are lost. People that are hurting. People that are saying, I need something tonight. Give me something absolute. Show me that you God actually answers your prayer. Show me tonight, church. And we can stand there and say, well, he does. We'll pray for you. But the person that struggled with so many things over their life says, I really want to see something solid. God is saying, well, then it's time for my shepherds in this church for me to get serious and know, Sister Sarah, who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus? Who is the shepherd? Who is he? Now, are we afraid to just open up that veil and say, you know, once I open up that veil, I'm really committed and it'll change my life. Church, my life has already been changed. God's plan begins to unfold over years, not just sometimes. It just doesn't happen over minutes or seconds. God is changing things. God has been making changes in this church for the past 9, 10, 11 months. Just get COVID and throw it out the window. We're not even talking COVID. We are talking people in this church. God is making and moving and developing people because he is saying there are other sheep. There's other sheep out there. Are we willing to go after them? And I believe we are. God has been training us all for a reason, church, for this time. Because there'll be no other time like this. God has been developing us for years. You know, church, I look at my journey, and this isn't what I visioned. The vision that I have for myself, this is not what I envisioned, church, for myself. I had plans that I wanted. And God says you need to put your plans aside. Because God is looking for someone to go. And it's just not doing what I'm doing, church. It's just all of us. God is saying you need to reach just a little bit further out there. You need to have that awkward conversation with your children, that awkward conversation with your parents, that awkward conversation many times with your neighbor. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. But you know, Jesus went among the sick. Jesus walked up to the pool of Bethesda, grace and mercy, and grace and mercy walked right towards the pool. Jesus didn't need the pool, he needed the man. He needed faith. And you know, you think about that thing. That's what God is asking all of us. Do you have enough faith to give people grace and mercy? And I say this church has, because church, God has been preparing us for quite a while. I still have a vision, church. We're on the edge. We've talked about, for years I've said this, church, someday it would be something to see the fire of God throughout this building, where you can't even see because of the presence of God is so thick. Church, I still believe that can happen. I do. I believe it, church, but does everybody else? I believe many of you do. But sometimes we think, well, that's kind of far-fetched. No, it's not far-fetched. Church, putting aside this flesh, because this flesh isn't going to serve you. Putting it aside, just like your career. Your career, it just gets you places. A job just feeds you. Your career just gets you someplace. It is God who is providing, because we are, if you remember Abraham's words, I mean, as Abraham was journeying through the land, we're strangers, church. We are strangers on this earth. God is looking for those that are willing to make heaven their home. But along the way, there are some souls. There are a few more sheep that we need to go after, church. The other sheep. It's about taking ownership of what Jesus demands of his servants. It's about taking responsibility for what God has requested. There is an expectation from God above to man below that we must obey. We must live the word without compromise. When one does not have a vested interest in someone's life, we take the high road. I do not want to be inconvenienced, but have the convenience of the life I want. That was me, church. Many times, hey, church, pastor, I'm content with Royal Rangers. Been doing that for 15 years now, going on 16. I'm fine. Seen a lot of boys come to the program. God says, you need to step it up. Well, Lord, I've done this now and then. I've taught Sunday school. I've done college and career classes over the years. I start listing all these things. God, I think I've done enough. It doesn't matter right now, church. What matters is now. What is God calling us to do? There's one more soul, one more lamb. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, church, we know the good shepherd. That's the perfect example for us. Verse 16, another sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Unity. We work hard to achieve it. Do not let it escape. We must choose to become the voice of Jesus Christ, which means we must really know the shepherd. And like I said, who are these other sheep? It's your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your family, your children. Jesus was to bring together, at the end of it all, the Jew and the Gentile. Church, they're supposed to be just one fold. They're just supposed to be one fold. It isn't supposed to be separate the way it is. Man creates separation. God creates unity. The lost outside the fold should have a desire to belong to the fold. The lost should have the experience of watching God touch your worship and your experience. The lost should see your faith as you take a rock to a sword fight like David. A pitcher, a trumpet, and a torch like Gideon. And a staff like Moses, and even putting a scarlet thread outside of your window like Rahab. People want to see that kind of faith. We need to have a desire, church, for true doctrine. We need to have a doctrine of desire. You know what people are looking for? People are looking for the next Paul. People are looking for the next Timothy. People are looking for the next Peter. People are looking for those type of people. And I'm saying, church, they're walking amongst us. They're already here. We just need to take advantage of the gifts God has given us. Challenge myself to anguish like anguish produced tears, Pastor. Let tears produce the move of God. Church, as I finish with these thoughts, there's one more sea to walk on. There's one more Red Sea to part. There's one more Jordan to cross. There is one more storm we have to get across. But church, through it all, Jesus Christ is still on his throne tonight. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me conclude with this thought, Matthew 18, 12 to 13. And we've heard this so many times. And we read this, and there's songs have been written about it, but what think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which has gone astray? What think ye? Do we think about that? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. The full church. You know, many are out in the wilderness right now. There's many broken. There's many going to the pool looking for a miracle. There's many trying to grasp a miracle, trying to get something out of nothing. And the answer is your testimony. The answer is your creed. The answer is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your testimony, your power, your prayers, your worship. That is the answer for a dying world church. And you know where it starts? Chelsea, Oklahoma. At this little place tonight. At this time, for this hour, now. And we look at the numbers in attendance tonight, and some are homesick. And we say, God, many times the army, God doesn't need a large army. He just needs to need an army of people with a desire who really want to go into battle. Are we willing to go into battle, church, tonight? If we can rescue one more lamb, one more sheep, the question is, the other sheep, where are they? Who are they? And are we willing to go? And I say, church, we are. I say every one of you is willing to go. I always refer to this. There's some of you, Timothy prays for his mom. There's so many needs out there. There are so many desires out there. You know, kind of a miracle, church. When I went back and a couple of weeks ago and I preached, one person who hadn't been to church in probably 15, 16, 17, 18 years said they would actually even become a member of the church once I got back there. And I say, wow. But it shouldn't take me having to go back there to get into church. But church, if there's something I can do to get more people into church, then God, then that is the plan, then let's do it. I'm for it, because those are the sheep that have gone astray. Those are the sheep that have made excuses for not being in the house of God, for saying, I don't need to be in when I can be out. The world entices our young people. The world gives you beauty in a glass. But church, that glass is cracked. You're not seeing the complete picture. That glass will go. It'll dissolve. It'll break. It'll crumble someday. And you're left with nothing but empty dreams. A crushed life. For you young people, get in love. Get in touch with Jesus Christ. Find out in your lives who is Jesus Christ. And you research it yourself in prayer on your knees. And find out, even for all the rest of us, who is Jesus? Well, I know Jesus. I got saved years ago. I know, no. But do you really, really comprehend? The high priest, the Son of God, in his glory, who reaches down miraculously and gets hold of your heart of stone, turns it into a heart of flesh. That same God, can you comprehend it? Well, God, I am trying to grasp it. I can't even grasp the universe. And he makes it very simple. It's the cross. It's the blood. it's my son. It's a relationship. And you find it all in prayer. Are we willing to light the fires in the temple? And I said, this place is church. You know, I think church, Pastor, at night, after we've had these services, if you were to walk in here at 3 o'clock in the morning, if the presence of God just remains, the next morning, if it remains, if a sinner off the street were to be walking out there in front of an empty building at night, if they still sense there's something in that building that has taken place, there has been an event, and that sheep out there, that other sheep, is saying, I'd like to get in that fold. I don't want to be part of the other. I want to be part of this. What is behind those doors? And while they're asking those questions, many times we should be saying, God, I'm ready to go through the Holy of Holies. I'd like to get behind that veil and see with my heart. I want to see the true Messiah. I want to really, really feel it. At this point in my life, Lord, we are growing, we are developing, but God, accelerate our growth. Give us miracle growth. It is time for us to really step it up one more notch. Because God is needing a group of people in these last days, church. Things may change after Wednesday, after Tuesday, even after Wednesday. Where are you going to be? On your knees in prayer. Where are you going to be? Getting closer to God. What are you going to be doing? Seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because no matter what happens, my Lord is still on his throne. And he's watching. No matter the turmoil, the chaos, I can't even imagine the patience, the virtues of Jesus Christ. And he watches. Well, Pastor, many people are saying that Jesus, you know, that's old-fashioned theology. It doesn't really matter anymore. You know, the world is modern. No, no. The only reason the world is modern is because Jesus allowed it to continue through mercy and grace. But whether it's modern or not, you still have a corrupt man who needs a Savior. And there's still Jesus on his throne, watching, watching, and watching. And the beauty of it is, Sister Pepper, is that he's also willing to communicate with our hearts. He is willing to communicate and say, let's have that personal relationship. Let's have a personal relationship. I see your desire. I see your desire. Let's have a personal relationship. And I go over Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, but it covers the same thing. 100 sheep, you lose one. Paraphrase it. There's going to be rejoicing, church, over one that you bring back. Tonight, church, think about that one lost lamb, the one lost sheep. And I want you, church, to recall that name and say, Lord, that's that other sheep I'm going to go after. God, and I'm going to light up heaven with my prayers. I am going to ask you, God, that I am going to send up fire to heaven in my prayer life, in my prayers, because, God, I want to see a miracle. And you know what? Those people are wanting a miracle. Because, church, when you walk into a room, they should know and say, that man's been with God. God, give us the Moses experience. Walk in the Holy of Holies. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. When they walk in this area, people should say, don't even walk near the front. The pastor doesn't even get near the front yet because the presence of God is so strong. No, this isn't one of those Pensacola movements. This is a movement of the one true God, who is showing his grace and mercy on Chelsea, Oklahoma, through one church building that sits right on Main Street. And God says, for this season, I'm going to show you my power. For this season, because there's one more relative. Sister Pepper, there is one more brother. There are two more brothers that are going to come to the cross. In my life, two more brothers and a father and a mother that need to come to the cross. Lord, there are the other sheep. And my God says, yes, they are. It is time to reach them. Church, if we can stand tonight. Sister Pepper, if you don't mind coming to the piano. Church, as we, I know this message was short, but I want you to call out a name in your prayer life. Some someone you're thinking of. Heads bowed, heads bowed and eyes closed. By a show of hands, how many know someone right now that are part of that other sheep? Church, that's everybody. We all have them. We all have them, church. There are a lot of those. And quite simply, God says, you're the key to them. It's time to take what you have and what you know and your ability and take it to the cross for them. Dear God, we need to be there, Lord. Plead the blood over their lives and begin to set heaven ablaze. Turn up the lights in the temple. Turn up the fire. Allow the sacrifices on the altar to burn even more. Allow people to see that there is one person praying and praying so hard. God says, I see your tears. Pastor preached about those tears, church. Those tears that bring revival. Those, every one of those teardrops is held in the palm of God's hand. And God looks upon his palm of his hands and says, Timmy, I see those tears for your mother. And I've counted those tears. Lydia, I've counted all the tears you've cried. The nights in desperation, I've counted every one of those tears. And I know every one of us. Brother Shelton, your son, God says, I've counted every one of those tears. It's in the palm of my hand. Our lost families, God is saying, I've counted every one of those tears. And you know, that's the beginning of revival. But church, get closer. Draw closer to Jesus Christ. Call them out at the altar tonight, church. If we can go ahead and come to the front, find a place to pray, and let's call them out and say, Lord, I'm going to go after those other sheep. I'm going to look for other sheep. But God, many times, I'm going to start with just one. If it is just one at a time, Lord, then it is going to be one. And God is going to begin to answer prayer. God is going to begin to move on your behalf, church. Because that's what God does. God sees our tears as we saw the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're grateful to you, Lord, for this happiness of God. Dear Jesus, we ask you to finish this message tonight. Finish it in our hearts, our minds, our souls, Lord. Seal the message in our hearts, God. One more person tonight. One more person, God. One more.